Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air. And on today's program, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, will be joined by a great guest. So let's get started.
We have an incredible program today. We're going to be talking about gray divorce and all the challenges around marriage, how to keep love close, how to get through maybe some tough spots, and what is happening at that kind of midlife time when people are pushing the reset button, and what are the implications of it. Our special guest today is Dr. Sharon May. She is a marriage and family therapist par excellence, one of my favorites. She's the founder and director of the Safe Haven Relationship Center out of Carlsbad, California. Again, she is one of the best in this area. I love having conversations with Sharon. She also serves on our AACC Executive Advisory Board. Great to have you, Sharon. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Tim. I look forward to talking with you and your audience.
Sharon, as we get started, we've had this conversation many times. Ecclesiastes 9:9 says, live joyfully with the one you love all the days of your life. And the truth is, there's nothing better in all the world than to love someone and build love back. Nothing more painful in all the world than to be in a relationship with someone who's supposed to love you and they don't love you. And so I think every day people are looking for some type of remedy, anything, Sharon, to help, you know, keep their hands clasped and their love strong. But it seems like everything in this culture is competing for our love, our affection in marriage, isn't it?
It certainly is. And it is difficult for a couple to say, you know, we're not really getting along. I'm not really happy. Does it mean I stay married or does it mean I go and divorce and leave to go find love somewhere else? Is there hope for my marriage? Maybe I married the wrong person. Maybe we're just too different. And can we find love? And Tim, a lot of couples are asking that. The highest divorce rate, you know, is in the first 7 years, but a lot of couples are asking that question who've been married 20 years or more. And it is when they look back, especially the wives can tell stories, and the husbands, from the beginning, you know, that when we first got married, you know, I had to move for your job, you know, alarm, you know, I then had to quit my job, you know, to stay home with the kids. You know, you then allowed your mom to speak rudely to me, you know, I asked you, can we go play tennis or go for walks? But you were always tired. I asked, can we keep date night sacred? But you were too tired and wanted to go to the kids' games. You know, then I asked you to back me when disciplining the kids, but you said I was nagging too much. And wives and husbands go through their whole marriage history, pinpointing these moments over the history of the marriage where there were two things. One, I didn't feel you were my safe haven. And at that point, the alarm sounded off and I turned away from you instead of toward you. And the accumulation of those hurts finally hit a door and there was an attachment injury. Events had happened that said, no, I'm closing my heart towards you. And at some point in a marriage, the husband or the wife closed their hearts towards the spouse, but then realigned their life so that they could get along and join together around the schedules of the family when they were emotionally disconnected. And that, if I am talking to an audience and your audience, and I sat down with each one of you couples listening, I would say If there is a time in your marriage, if it's right now where you feel we're emotionally disconnected and I feel a wall coming up and I feel myself just going, then I'll just put my energy into taking care of the family. That is a red flag, because if you come to, you know, 25, 30 years of your marriage and you're still at that place, you're going to be tired and weary. You're going to feel like you're dying on the vine, and you feel like you're not going to have the energy to keep going with it.
Sharon, an interesting phenomenon that we've seen in these kind of patterns is that literally in the name of love, you can begin losing it, love in your relationship. So all you might be thinking is, all I've ever wanted is for her to love me. All I've ever wanted is for him to love me. And so I create these expectations. Why don't you, for example, leave me a card, send me flowers? Why don't you ever take me on a date? Why don't you just say that I look nice? Why don't you treat me well? Stop ignoring me. You know that? You treat me like I don't even exist. You don't even treat me like a human being. And that's the stuff that begins to, by the way, lodge in your heart. So what you do is, all I've ever wanted is the old Sharon back or the old Tim back. The truth is, I don't know if I like you anyway, so I'm not bringing you flowers. I'm not bringing you a present. You know that? I'm not calling you, because every time I call you, all we do is fight. And so we shut down. And the tragedy is, all that does is it continues to build this wall and create distance between us. And then anger can begin to build. And we often associate, Sharon, I want you to talk about this, anger with outbursts and things like that. Sometimes it's a critical spirit or a closed spirit.
And that is key, the closed spirit. That is a warning sign that if my spirit is closing towards my spouse, where I'm saying, you know, for years I've asked you for these acts of love that demonstrated, I've asked you for moments of togetherness that can build this bond between us and create the safe haven. I've asked you for years, and we haven't done it. And then I don't, you know, call you to go to lunch with you because you don't call me to see how my day is. And we both start backing away. And to, you know, to catch ourselves before we find our feet over the edge of the cliff. One, if you find your feet over the edge of the cliff, there is hope. There is hope. This is a season in marriage where you come after 25, 30 years of marriage. You know, my parents, who were married for over 70 years before they died, said, you know, Sharon, when couples come and they've been married 50, 60 years or 30, tell them this is part of the season. You will grow apart and away and say, who are you? You know, I've been hurt for so many years. Get through that season to the other side so you can grow old. So one, I want to normalize this phase of your marriage. Get help. You don't have to be a part of the gray divorce statistic. But back up. If you're not there yet, know that your spouse just wants to know that you love me and care for me. And I need to know that you love me and care for me. So every day, have in your schedule those moments of fostering that safe haven. I love you and I care for you. We've got babies. They're crying. You know, we don't have date nights. Kids are in high school. We're so busy. You know, kids are in college, always bringing their washing home. You know, we're busy, but I love you. I care for you. And I want to work on this and grow old with you. We have to remind ourselves that that actually is what we both want, or we do lose sight and say, I'm done.
You're listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, co-host here along with my son, Zach Clinton. In studio guest today is Dr. Sharon May, marriage and family therapist par excellence, comes out of California. We've worked a lot together. She heads up the Safe Haven Relationship Center, which is an amazing entity and organization that offers, by the way, intensives for couples who are, say, in a spin. They're in trouble, and they've been trying to get out of it, and they can't, and they see things are going the wrong direction. They may be headed for divorce. And how do you arrest that process? She specializes in that. I have sent a lot of people her way, and I am so thrilled by the work that she and her team do out there at Safe Haven Relationship Center. Sharon, this gray divorce subject really has my attention because I continue to see this more and more in couples around me. Julie and I are in that mid-later years of life, and when we see couples, you know, there are a lot of Christian couples out there who people think they get along. At the end of the day, they don't fight, but they come and they kind of just exist. The truth is, sometimes maybe God's waiting on us, you know, that to say, hey, listen, what are we going to do here? You know, that am I going to let these, quote, good years of my life continue to fade like this? Sharon, and that too is an expression of anger, because I remember reading a little bit of what's called the anger of hope and the anger of hopelessness. And they're two different worlds, aren't they? And by the way, you start drifting into the anger of hopelessness, you're in a spin. You're in trouble. It's really a massive red flag.
Yes, absolutely. And there again, have hope. If you can't pull yourself up from the edge of the cliff, get help so you can, you know, have that counselor help you if you can't do it on your own. And that when you come to a place of saying, you know, I don't think God wants me to be this unhappy, I've had to put on a front for the church, for my Bible study group, for the kids, but no one's known, even for my family, no one knows how sad and alone and disconnected I really am. And to be able to, at that point, know, just because I'm at the edge of the cliff doesn't mean I need to jump off and divorce. Because a lot of couples say, you know, what will my church say? What will my Bible study group say? What will my family say? And then they say, but you know what? I am deserving of love. I am deserving to not live in such a disconnected.
I think God wants us to love.
Yes.
And be loved. I think he sees the beauty in all of it. And when that radiates in our life, I think it ultimately points us back to what it means to be loved by a creator God who's there for us. And he wants to embrace us, and he does, and he wants to help us and to do life well. Sharon, this communications model in marriage becomes, I think, important here, because the anger of hope, what we do is we begin to do things like criticize each other, maybe just say little bitey things to try to get you to respond to me. It's like the problem in our marriage is you're not the spiritual leader, okay? Or the problem in our marriage is you never tell me you love me. Now, those things bite and they hurt. But what we learned in communications model was this, that they're probably being said to try to get you to what? Love me. I'm trying to get you to respond to me. However, it's coming out in a way that, quote, does the exact opposite. It's driving us apart rather than getting us to respond. And so this communication issue becomes a real problem. And also, if I go all the way through to criticizing, contemptuous, being defensive or whatever, if I get to the place, I can eventually begin to lock down and stonewall you out. This is what John Gottman taught in his Four Horses of the Apocalypse. And what he was saying was, what happens there is I simply say, you know what? You're never going to touch me again. I will not do that anymore until you prove to me that you care for me. You know that? And I mean it. You better prove it. And you better be safe, because every time I've tried to reach out to you, all you've ever done is hurt me. So I shut you down, and I may cut you off, if you will, in every way possible. And that's that anger of hopelessness. That those are the seeds being sown there where, yeah, we don't fight. You know why? Because I'm not fighting with you anymore. I'm disengaging.
Absolutely. And where, Tim, that comes, John Bowlby's research on attachment, when children are trying to get their parents, you know, love and attention, John Bowlby saw the anger of hope. And we see it in couples. I have the anger of hope. If I get angry, hopefully you will see. I need date night. Come and hold me. Help me with the kids. You know, can you do the dishes? Can you think of what we need at the grocery store? It's the anger and hope you'll see me. But if those efforts don't work, I move to despair. I move to, it's not working. nothing's going to change you. Nothing's going to get you to come close to me. And I then move from despair to disconnection. Then you know what? I need to just go on and have my own life. And I think that's a trajectory of the gray divorce. They say, I've been yelling, screaming, crying for years to get things to change. And now they're in the season of despair. It's not going to change. Now what? I'm in my 50s. I'm in my 60s. I still have, you know, good life until my mid-80s. What am I going to do? And they're saying I'm almost willing to, for my church to be mad at me and upset with me, for my family to be upset with me, because I'm that despaired.
Sharon, we're fighting time here. In the midst of this journey then, part of the obvious is you've got to stop this negative communication spiral spin. Somewhere you've got to create a safe spot because people have been so wounded, almost mortally wounded by someone who's supposed to love them. And then you've got to figure out how to get emotional strands of connectedness going again. And that's the hard part. And that's where like these intensives and things like that come in, because if you're just going to try to fix it on maybe a half hour or 45 minute counseling session or something like that a week, probably not going to make it all that well. Although
right.
I want to say this, people who actually seek out marriage counseling, in a majority, a significant majority of the times, they're getting the help they're needing.
Yes.
The intensive model is to, quote, hyper jump that thing, right?
Yes, absolutely. Because waiting an hour a week over 6 months or 8 months, sometimes that little bit of growing journey is just bite sizes and eating the elephant, and it works well for a lot of couples. But a lot of couples that are sinking, or their feet are over the edge of the cliff and they're getting ready to fall, the intensive sitting for 3 to 4 days, getting to the heart of the issue, helps them all at once to get acclimated. Oh my goodness, I now see the history of our marriage, where I see where the moments where you were hurt and wounded and your spirit started closing. Oh, you weren't angry at me. This wasn't about you being disappointed in me. This was about you needed me and I wasn't there. I get now at those points in our marriage when I thought, I'll guard, protect, withdraw, shut down because you're mad, you're disappointed, can never please you. No, that anger was actually you needed me. And there's a softening that starts happening and an awareness and understanding. And as you said, men then get acclimated in this crazy-making cycle. You mean when my wife says, don't touch me, get away? Actually, it means no, stay in the room, soften her and just be there gently so she can melt and come close. You're like, oh, all the times, you know, you were so mad like that, I just pushed you away. But when couples can come and sit and start looking at the cycles that have shaped their closing of their spirits, they then go, oh, it makes sense. It's not maybe that you're the wrong person for me. It's that this cycle has so pulled us apart.
Destroyed.
And the cycle has made us enemies. Yes. And now we're depleted, dying on the vine. And you know, God said, loving well is the greatest thing. If you haven't loved well, your life is empty. But God also knew He was commanding us to do something that was going to be really, really difficult. And Tim, to do the difficult thing, it requires character. We have to grow ourselves so that we can love well. And it's possible. Because God said, I want you to do it. And God says, I know what it's like to love someone who keeps pushing against you, kicking against you, who's not there for you, who turns against you. You know, talking about the us as human beings and, you know, the story of God's beloved us people. He knows what it's like to be in a painful, difficult relationship.
Maybe God's saying something to you right now, wherever you're at in your relationship, and maybe it's time. I bet you that if you began to just gently pursue a path forward, ask God to open up your heart, bring into your life all the resources, services, whatever that's necessary, who knows where this could go. Sharon, if people want to learn more about you, by the way, and the Safe Haven Relationship Center, where can they go?
They can go to safehavenrelationshipcenter.com.
Incredible clinic, a lot of resources. Sharon is an excellent writer and obviously an incredible thinker, and she gets relationships really well. I would go visit that again, safehavenrelationshipcenter.com. As always here at the American Association of Christian Counselors, loved, and we invite you to visit our website at aacc.net. We got a lot of training programs and resources up there too for you. Hey, and let me also add, we have a brand new kind of service engine, if you will, a technology engine called Christian Care Connect. If you're looking for a therapist maybe in your local community, people who offer telehealth and more, you can go up on that website, ChristianCareConnect.com. We care about your mental health, your relationships, and most importantly, your relationship with God. And somewhere in the midst of it, He loves us in spite of who we are and continues to push us and challenge us to know Him in greater ways and to enjoy this journey called life. Sharon, again, what a delight to have you on behalf of Zach, our entire team at AACC. Thank you for joining us here on Life, Love, Faith, and Family.
Oh, thank you, Tim. It's an honor.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
This is Dr. Shawnee Anderson, and I'm a licensed clinical psychologist who's been in practice for over 30 years. In my clinical experience, one of the hardest parts for someone struggling with their mental health is the very first step, the just reaching out for help part. I understand that asking for help is hard, but finding that help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, the mission is to make it easier to find a Christian clinician or coach who is compatible with you, someone you feel comfortable with, who shares your faith and values. Whether you're walking through grief, battling anxiety or depression, or facing any other of life's challenges, excellent mental health care providers are here to come alongside you with support that is both clinically excellent and distinctly Christian. If you or someone you know is looking for help and healing, we invite you to take that next step today. Go to ChristianCareConnect.com to find a provider within 100 miles of you. For further support or questions, you can email us at contact@ChristianCareConnect.com. A new way to start your journey to wellness and peace of mind.
Hey everybody, this is Dr. Zach Clinton, licensed counselor from the American Association of Christian Counselors with your Mental Health Minute. People don't connect to your perfection, they connect to your scars. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9 says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Authenticity invites healing, while performance repels it. Clinically speaking, vulnerability is a foundational component of deep relationships and effective leadership. People aren't moved by your mask. They're attracted to your realness and bond to your relatability. Your wounds, redeemed, become someone else's roadmap. So my friend, what part of your story are you tempted to hide? Share it with someone this week, not to impress them, but to relate with them. You'll be surprised how healing flows when walls come down.
This has been your Mental Health Minute with Dr. Zach Clinton. For more information, visit aacc.net. That's aacc.net.
Don't miss the 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference, with a special emphasis on neuroscience and brain health. Coming to the Lowe's Arlington Hotel in Arlington, Texas, in September 2026. Featuring world-leading and dynamic experts like Daniel Amen, George Barna, Jack Graham, Sungyung Tan, Sharon May, Kurt Thompson, Jennifer Ellers, Shawnee Anderson, Zach Clinton, Tim Clinton, and more. Join counselors, psychologists, marriage and family therapists, pastors, ministry leaders, and coaches from around the world. Register now for the best savings at nationalaacc.com. That's nationalaacc.com. the 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference.
Do people ever come to you asking for help? Maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.